My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Here we are back.
Back in the AMC, MacGuffin's. The MacGuffin's lounge.
MacGuffin's Champagne Room.
Luxury lounge. You know, this week, I mentioned a couple Oscar hopefuls to Aaron. Do you want to see this? Do you want to see that? And Aaron said, nah, let's do Office Christmas Party.
Hey, pal, look.
Hey.
I thought, let's start off the holiday season with something fun.
Gotta have a good time.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell you all, hey, it's a big, goofy comedy. But don't worry, I've seen 700 movies in the past 4 days. So I'm going to review a couple of those this week, too. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Bingo.
Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, December... I'm not prepared.
December 9th.
2016. We are here at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 in West Homestead, Pennsylvania. There's Aaron Kleiber.
That was very specific.
Yeah. That was West Homestead. The line's like 2 blocks out.
You were getting real technical.
Yeah.
Real technical.
Going to drop the zip code next time.
We took a rare week off.
Yeah. Sorry, but you know what? I think we've done like 3 ever. So
I mean, we've done like right. 100 weeks in a row.
Probably. I
not,
can't tell
not
you
me,
when.
You.
I can't tell you when the last week off
I get
was.
Weeks off.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it.
And it's really odd because this is, you know, a very busy time of the year. But just schedule-wise, nothing came out last weekend. There was some kind of action movie with somebody. That's all I remember. That was the only thing that came out
last
week.
That about sums it up.
Week. And it was not screened, and so we thought, you know what?
There's some action movie with somebody.
There's a lot of movies coming up. Let's take a little break. Let people hear that Moana
sure.
episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Moana was really good, by the way.
It was a lot of fun. My kids, they asked if they could have it on DVD for Christmas. So yeah,
it will not be available at that point. Shia LaBeouf and Jai Courtney. We're in a movie called Man Down.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was the only wide release last week. So we said, you know, let's wait.
I heard it was not good.
Yeah, that was not supposed
you know,
to be.
And I actually, a couple of my military friends on Facebook was giving it some major shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that you know, Shia as a, I believe they said his PTSD or... You know, they were just like, nope, not buying it, disrespectful.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to do that, you got to do it right.
Yeah, and it was specifically one of my friends is a comedian and Marine. That narrows it down. Some people know who that is.
Yeah.
But and then another Marine friend, they were just like, nope.
Yeah.
And I was like, ouch, ouch.
And in a busy season, you definitely don't need to be making that one of your choices. So here we are, and... You wanted a light comedy. You just wanted some fun. You wanted a fun Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be Bad Santa 2, which is garbage.
No, thanks.
So
you saw that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, garbage.
That's horrible.
Well, here's
absolutely
the thing.
Horrible.
Like, you know, these are office Christmas parties are kind of a thing where, well, I told my wife, I was like, we're going to see Office Christmas Party. And she's like, oh, you mean a bunch of famous people? You put them in a setting and then add alcohol and drugs and boobs.
And
I'm like... Yep, that's the formula.
The whole movie.
So, but you know, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's fun.
The range on these, if these are disappointing, and by these, you know, you exactly what you just talked about.
Exactly.
Big ensemble comedies, party comedies.
Wedding dates, Dave and
right.
need wedding, all that.
The range is, it's going to be somewhere between... unremarkable at worst and
right.
oh that was really good
and then
best.
At the end of the second act one friend feels betrayed by the other friend
yeah
and then they have to regain each other's trust and friendship
and something that was mentioned earlier in the film a side character remembers that and then
uh-huh.
saves the day
actually in this film pretty good setup
yeah it worked
a little much
yeah
little much, but okay.
And
they dotted their I's.
Jason Bateman does exactly what you rely on him to do. Let's just say that.
Jason Bateman is moving into the and you may know my stance on this. He's moving into John Cusack territory.
Oh.
Where he just talks.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. Jason Bateman was made famous really from not Teen Wolf 2, relax. But being the straight guy.
Yeah.
Being the straight man. He's good at it. And he's really not like, you know, blowing minds, but he's really great at being the straight guy in a comedy. And yeah, that's Jason Bateman.
Now when you're through Horrible Bosses 2, Identity Thief, Bad Words, Horrible Bosses 1, Change Up, The Switch, Extract, Couples Retreat.
Yeah.
You know, he's just
hit that note
a lot.
But once you named all those, holy crap, it's getting to be a problem.
Yeah. And to be fair, Central Intelligence, he was like a side character.
Yeah, but still.
Mean guy. Yeah. He did, you know, he was a lead voice in Zootopia.
Right, yeah.
Sure. And he did a couple different kind of things last year when he did The Gift. Remember The Gift?
That was really good.
But, you know, I know it's going to be hard to not take the check for something like Office Christmas Party.
And I can't imagine what he's getting.
It's also to the point where I would rather see someone else in this role. Because I've just seen him hit those you're an idiot, those notes a lot.
Perfect.
And
we're not going to do that. Bad idea.
I'm sticking with, you know, I know I'm unpopular in this opinion, and maybe it's because I didn't really watch Friends.
I don't think
Jennifer Aniston is funny, and I don't enjoy watching her. I've never been a fan of her. Like, there's nothing about her that bothers me other than, like, I feel like she's an unfunny person trying really hard to be funny. And I think she's more useful in a drama, honestly. And she's the same way. Horrible Bosses and Horrible Bosses 2, We're the Millers, Wanderlust, Just Go With It with Adam Sandler, yeah. Bounty Hunter with Gerard Butler, The Switch, this now three Jason Bateman movies.
Yeah.
She's just keeps doing this. Look, I'm an A-list star, and I'm doing these raunchy comedies.
Yeah, even in We're the Millers, she kind of was the weak link. I mean, granted, okay, she did a striptease. She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. I think she's a good looking grown woman. I mean, damn it, dude, she's like 46 years old.
48. She's older. Yeah.
Yeah. 40. I think she might be 48, 46. Where are you going? Where IMDb, bro?
I keep telling you, IMDb is less useful than Wikipedia for one fact. You want to know how old Jennifer Aniston is, you go to Wikipedia.
She's 47. I'm on IMDb, bro.
Yeah, well, I got to it.
Says their ages.
I had to finish a sentence first. So I beat you. 47.
She looks great. She's gorgeous. I mean, I get it. But it's not like she's terrible, but she's just hitting those sitcom beats.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, you know, sensational about it.
Once you get past the two of them, though, it's so loaded that you're going to have a good time. TJ Miller's really the third lead, and he's great.
Dude, I was really happy. I really like him.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a funny guy. He's a really nice person.
Yeah.
You know, not that I know him personally. I've met him. He's been in Pittsburgh a little bit, filming movies, doing stand-up, and he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, finally, because he's really, I mean, sure, he had a lead in Deadpool a little bit.
That was a supporting role.
Yeah. But like, I think Workaholics, no, Silicon Valley, sorry.
Sure.
Silicon Valley, really good for him, man. Because what am I trying to say here? He can act.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then his comedic ability,
mm-hmm.
which we see. Like, he's like, I'm playing, you know, the boss of a company.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to the Office Christmas Party,
yeah.
he turns on his comedic ability,
yeah.
and it's hysterical.
He's great.
His improv ad-libbing is shit is hysterical.
By the way, TJ Miller will be hosting the Critics' Choice Awards this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on A&E.
That's a nice pick.
Those are the ones that I vote for. So see which movies and stars that I give awards to, and get some funny stuff from TJ Miller. He did it last year.
Yeah.
He had.
Oh, yeah?
He clearly had a little bit of like swinging for the fences.
Oh yeah.
I think in a and he did well. It was just like, whoa, you're really trying to make this happen, bro.
Yeah.
I think in a second year he's going to be great. And not the last time I'm going to plug them on this episode, but hey, as you may note, the Critics' Choice Awards this year decided they were going to move way to the beginning of awards
season.
Yeah,
that's
bananas. So
what Sean crawled into this screener looking like you have been in a bunker watching screeners.
That's correct. I think it was 2.5 weeks ago I told you.
It's like Sean, how's that doctorate coming?
Yeah.
That's what you look like. You're studying for your doctorate.
I 2 weeks
and you're
ago.
You're just watching movies.
2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm only at 100. And now this was like 128, 129 in a couple of weeks. And it's, first world problems. Like, oh my God, I got to watch all these movies. But when you're getting to like your sixth in 2 days, you start to get, your brain starts to get a little mushy.
I don't know, Sean. You're complaining. Bit. You're living the dream.
I am living the dream.
But yeah, this is the time
movie
of the
studios
year.
Studios are sending me presents. But anyway, the thing about Sunday and the Critics' Choice Awards, because it's first, everyone wants to get some face time and get out in front. So what they're telling us is everybody in the world is going to be there. That
really?
It's going to be the big star-studded, you know.
Now, could you attend that if you wanted to?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I always like to say that this is the time of the year we want to reiterate that Sean matters. Sean,
I try.
Sean's opinion matters. He actually votes. I mean, I vote too. But
yeah.
You're a real movie critic.
Yeah.
Sean Collier is an actual movie critic.
The people who made Loving sent me applesauce and soup.
Guys.
A couple weeks ago. So
okay.
There you go.
Is that enough for you?
But yeah, TJ Miller's great. Olivia Munn, you know, she's kind of still on that slow climb, but I like watching her.
She could soon enough fall into the Jason Bateman category because she's not her comedic ability is not blowing people away.
What has she done? Well, she did an X-Men this year.
Which, Psylocke is one of the... Psylocke was probably one of my first special feelings when I was a kid. And then Olivia Munn, who I have an odd crush on for whatever. But yeah, she... even in Zoolander, she was meh.
Is her fifth movie this year.
But dude, I thought she was really good in Newsroom. I really did.
Yeah.
She was really good in Newsroom.
I thought she was really good in Magic Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you know she's a good compliment for Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
But then okay, let's get in.
Then you get into Kate McKinnon.
Holy shit!
It's the point where I can't believe they got her for this movie.
I think she signed this while Ghostbusters is in production.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She is the uptight HR director.
Yeah.
And I could watch a whole movie of this character.
Yeah.
It's so damn funny. Really uptight HR director.
Rob Corddry is great as always.
And let's take Rob Corddry and Kate McKinnon's character and let's put them in their own damn movie.
Yeah.
Them two are such loose cannons. I want to see them in a movie together.
Vanessa Bayer, I don't think she gets used enough because she's always
knocked
out of the park.
She's got...
To me.
She's got... She has like one or two gears.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Sure, she plays some characters on SNL. They're cool. But I think her acting gear is really funny.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I don't know how to explain like this cadence she has.
She said on the show last week, look, I've been in two movies, Trainwreck and another one.
Oh, yeah, right, that's right.
I think she should be used more. I think Jillian Bell is hilarious.
She's really funny.
You might have seen her in 22 Jump Street. She was in The Night Before. She was in Bridesmaids for a second. But she's on Workaholics. You know her to see her face.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's very underrated.
Yeah, super funny.
Randall Park's in it. Courtney B. Vance is
funny. He's in everything.
Jamie Chung is funny. Matt Walsh, again, you know, he just pops up to do a funny
quick little
thing.
Bit. Yeah, hilarious.
And you were talking about Fortune Feimster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fortune Feimster, I believe. If you don't know Fortune Feimster, really funny stand-up comic. She was on a finalist on Last Comic Standing. She's going to blow up. I mean,
yeah.
She does a lot of funny, like, Instagram videos, Snapchat, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really happy to see, you know, when you really like a stand-up comic. I mean, geez, and I saw her in L.A. like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to see her blow up like that, she's really funny. And her, like, getting to do improv with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fun. That's cool when you see,
yeah, good for her.
You know, a stand-up comic that's in your kind of generation and in your classes, you know,
yeah.
Like, that's really cool. She's funny. Sam Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
From Veep.
Yeah.
He's the annoying intern. He's Jonah's annoying like partner in Veep. Dude, he's pretty funny in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a spoiler, but he ends up being works at the office and is also like, oh, by the way, I DJ.
Yeah.
That's all I need to tell you. And he's pretty funny.
He you know, repeats one of my favorite Aaron and Jason Clark moves quite a lot. So, you know, it wasn't great. There were not as many laughs as I wanted. This year it wasn't as good as like Keanu or Ghostbusters or even, you know, I like
Popstar?
Popstar is obviously much better.
Oh, yeah.
I even like Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates a little bit more than I liked this.
Yeah, maybe because I can't stand, what's her dumb face? Pitch Perfect.
You know, you have such hatred for America's sweetheart.
She tries so hard to be like, oh, I can also do this. And I'm like, relax. So
because she can, and she does a great job.
Go play Cups. Shut up.
Oh, any young lady America loves,
don't you turn against. Don't you say that.
Her and Sandra Bullock. And don't you hate Emma Stone, too?
No.
Oh, you like Emma Stone?
What?
Okay.
No, I love her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of? Who besides Anna Kendrick and Sandra Bullock
Cusack. So your whole thing.
No,
about
her, I'm thinking of Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, she's overrated. I don't hate her. She's way overrated.
I don't think so.
Super overrated.
We'll see how Passengers is.
Give me a break.
That's one of the only ones. The only.
I tell you what though. I just was telling somebody that's the test for both of them.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I'm telling you, it's a movie about them.
Right.
And I'm afraid that she, because she has been in some really big things, she's, you know, David O. Russell has been directing her. I think she has a better chance, but this is, if Chris Pratt wants any serious roles,
right,
this is going to be this is going to tell us.
Well, let me give a little programming note or two, by the way.
Chris Pratt is making enough money. He's fine.
Oh yeah, he'll be all right.
He's fine.
You see that Guardians 2 trailer? It looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So you're hearing this on the 9th. Here's what's coming up.
Yeah.
A week from today, what I'm going to do is drop a little bonus episode.
Ooh.
A little short one on this goddamn ridiculous looking Will Smith movie, Collateral Beauty. I'm just going to solo that,
dude,
a week from today. Why am I doing a little one on the Friday? Well, here's the reason. Next Friday, as you may have heard, is the release date for Rogue One.
Yeah.
And like last year, they were clamping down on who can see it. We may not be able to see it early. So we are going to put out some kind of spoiler-heavy Rogue One episode a couple of days later. I'm not sure exactly when, but within 10
That's
days,
fine.
Within well, 10 days you know, of when you hear this, you're going to get
and
your Star Wars
episode.
Something
like that. I mean, I don't want people to listen to us if we spoil it.
Yeah.
So it gives people a chance to go see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't Force Awakens. We might not have to spoil it.
We might not. And we'll make it very, very clear. Yeah. It'll be in the description. We'll say at the beginning. We might do a half and half thing.
Well, that,
depends on
fun.
What's going to happen.
Yeah.
But a week from now, a little one on Collateral Beauty. I already. Oh man, that looks bad.
Dude, It's like, you know, when Saturday Night Live makes fun of deep independent, like Sundance winning Oscar Best Picture-y.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
it looks like they made up a movie that everyone's like, it's so deep.
Yeah,
it should win all the awards.
Well,
and like it looks like a fake.
It's not even being considered for anything. Like it's like a bomb in waiting.
Oh,
maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
The idea is really dumb. It's really dumb.
And then I think, I don't know, I think we might still come up with something on Passengers sometime the week after that.
Yeah.
Point is, release schedule is going to be wonky between now and the end of the year, but we got some episodes coming out. Just, you'll see them when you see them.
Yeah.
And keep an eye on at Truth Podcast on Twitter, and we'll let you know what's going to happen when.
Yeah, and we're a little busy this December.
Sure.
I'm in Calgary this week. If anybody is listening from Calgary,
yeah,
I'm with Matt Bronger in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, hey, friends, I'm in Los Angeles, December 14th through the 18th. December 14th, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv at the Comedians You Should Know show. On the 15th, I will be at the Laugh Factory at 10 p.m. And also on the 15th, through the 18th, I'll be at the Brea Improv.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll be in Los Angeles for that week. And then I'm home. I'm home for Christmas. And then I'll be at New Year's Eve weekend. I'll be at the Pittsburgh Improv.
All right. I will... I want to save this weekend's plugs for the Critics' Choice Awards. Tune in, especially you're home on a Sunday night. You want a fun awards show. It's going to be a good time. Just flip on A&E. Follow. I'm going to be tweeting through it at Sean Collier PGH on Twitter. You know, we swear, one day these are going to matter more than the Golden Globes. But
yeah,
for that to happen, because the Golden Globes are kind of bullshit, really. You know, I think, you know, we tend to honor a much wider range of movies than just about any other show. So please tune in Sunday night at 8 p.m.
And you're involved. Are you doing Stand Up Get Down?
When?
On the 23rd?
I don't think so.
You're not?
I can if you want. You want me to?
I was going to... No, it's already booked then.
Okay. No, it's not me.
I was going to hold it to the end because I thought you were in it. And then I'm thinking out loud. I'm like, wait, I don't think you are.
Not on that one.
Well, do you have anything else coming up?
Yeah, I'll next weekend, as you're hearing this, the Rogue One weekend, actually.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Pittsburgh Improv with Owen Benjamin.
Oh, that'll be fun.
16, 17, and 18. Also on the 17th. Our friends Knights of the Arcade at Arcade Comedy Theater are having their holiday spectacular.
Yeah, I wish I was here for that.
Something like 10 or 15 former Knights guests are dropping in.
Yeah.
That's 10 p.m. at Arcade Comedy Theater on the 17th. And I'll mention to you now, on New Year's Eve, I'm doing two shows in downtown Pittsburgh with Ed Bailey and Dave Bracey, the drinking partners. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Two shows on New Year's Eve, so all of that coming up.
Epicast comedians, working on New Year's Eve.
Oh, and speaking of Epicast, tune in to Marta on the Move this week, where the guest is me.
Oh, excellent!
We're talking movies. We're talking movie awards. We're talking that whole thing.
I was going to leave this to the end, but December 23rd is a big night at Arcade Comedy Theater. On Friday, December 23rd, 8 p.m. show is the Roast of Ralphie.
Yeah.
It's our annual Christmas roast.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was, I believe, Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
This year is the roast of Ralphie from A Christmas Story. And then at 10 p.m. it is the Stand Up Get Down, the world's only stand-up comedy game show.
That's right.
Hosted by me in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Bunch of good stuff.
Good times.
Coming up over the holidays. And what else do I have to... let's have a word from the Epicast Network.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com. On the Epicast Network, you can find me on Twitter at @ICan'tFindMarta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
And we're back.
Yeah, you heard from some office. What am I trying to say? Awesome. Epicast things. And check this out. If you like this podcast, if you like our friends drinking partners, Day and Ed, if you like my podcast, Grown Dad Business, with me and Jason Clark. Epicast produces these podcasts.
Yes.
And if you would like to make a podcast, you should talk to them. Go to epicastnetwork.com/services. And not only do they do podcast production and producing, they do audio engineering in the studio and live audio engineering. Mm-hmm. They also do video, photo, event planning.
Yeah.
They put on huge shows for the Drinking Partners for some of their live episodes. We've done some live episodes at Row House. Mm-hmm. With Epicast. Listen, I don't know what else to tell you, but the best podcasts in Pittsburgh are coming from Epicast.
Right.
Plain and simple.
I just did an Epicast produced show with Drinking Partners out at Comptroller Theater in Cranberry. Great time. They've music, comedy, free drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all, they do great work. So
that's
if you've
one
got
thing they do well is since they're Drinking Partners, they
make sure there's
they know a couple something. People.
And by the way, congratulations to Dave Bracey, who at the end of that show proposed to his girlfriend Kat Bruno.
Yeah.
On stage at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which was great. He told me when I got there, and I said, "Oh, that's great." After my set, right? Because I'm not following your proposal.
Yeah, right.
That's got to be the end of
the show. It was
the
end of the show, right?
Right. Yeah,
oh, okay,
the end of the
good.
Night.
That's
the
good.
End of the night. But yeah, congratulations to him. It's very nice.
So you have a little extra butter?
There's just so many damn movies that I got to tell you.
You've seen 107 movies in the last 48 hours. I caught up to a bunch.
You go first then. What have you seen recently?
We saw Moana, but I saw Arrival, which is definitely in my top films of the year.
Yeah, it's the direction in that is unbelievable.
It's so good, and I think it's written beautifully.
Yeah.
It's very well written.
Yes.
Definitely, and there it's a little twisty.
Yeah.
A little twisty.
But nothing you can't keep
nothing
track
crazy.
Of. Yeah.
I'm very confused by some people on Facebook and Twitter. Hit us up at Truth Podcast or on Facebook.
Yeah.
Handle the Truth Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand some people that are saying like it's terrible and they don't get it. Like, who are you? Like, I don't get it. I don't get that you don't get it.
It's not.
Is this Interstellar? Because
it felt like I walked out of there feeling like this is going to get the Interstellar reaction from some people. Some people really want their handheld.
They do,
and
man.
The flashback voiceover, Bond villain explains the plot.
And we keep saying that. I think that people are spoiled now. And it's not that you're a dumb idiot. I think that you're a product of the film industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a product of simplicity and dumb narration.
Yeah.
And flashbacks. And you know, like, oh, here's the movie. Oh, thanks, flashback.
Right.
I also saw Hacksaw Ridge.
I think it's getting a little overhyped now. I walked out of there thinking, like, this was fine, good, nothing great, but okay. And it's getting some awards attention, and it might be a little much.
It definitely, a couple things. You had a really great point about the effects, special effects. We haven't seen a World War II movie with $100 million special effects in quite a while.
Yeah.
So seeing a World War II movie catch up to the special effects of this year was pretty amazing.
And Mel Gibson he has a fetish for violence. So he shoots some of that like it's Evil Dead. And that's really intense and very effective, sequences.
I think he's a really good director.
Yeah.
He has a lot of great pictures under his belt.
Yeah.
And I will say that when he does shoot violence, it kind of makes a point.
Yeah.
It kind of
certainly
belongs there.
I mean,
to a degree.
This has every Mel Gibson movie has the, hey, do you want to talk about the sociological problems with this one? Mm. And Hacksaw Ridge is no exception, where like he really shoots the Japanese soldiers like they're, you know, possessed demon monsters.
Oh, like they're, you know what it reminded me of? Orcs.
Yeah.
No,
which
I know.
Is like, that's
yeah,
why
weird.
That's why people say things about you, Mel.
Yeah.
But you know what I noticed sitting in there? This is a term paper that somebody could write.
But people would be okay if they did that about the Germans, right?
Depends on how you do it.
Just saying, Japanese were pretty brutal. As brutal as the Germans.
No, I'm not saying that.
Now we're getting into something I'm really into.
I'm not saying
World
that
War II.
You know, I'm not saying that it's not the horrors of war. I'm just saying that like Mel Gibson is one of those guys that doesn't realize that like 50 years after a war, yeah. 70 years after a war, there's an obligation to show the humanity on both sides and not make it, you know, inhuman monsters and good guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not,
yeah.
hey, let's make sure everyone knows that the Japanese yeah, people no, were bad.
I'm
you know?
Just I'm just being fun. Yeah. But also, you know, I mean, Google Unit 731.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard a couple things. We're yeah. not going to talk about
no,
it.
No, we're not.
Today.
But just Google Unit 731 if you really want to get disgusted.
Here's a term paper somebody could write, though.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Mel Gibson is obsessed with male bodies in pain? That there are torture. Okay, let's think about Braveheart, Passion of the Christ, Apocalypto, and Hacksaw Ridge. And not only are not only are there scenes where men are in agony, he really loves shots like of like muscles like straining in horrible like torture. Something going on there. Something's up.
Don't you leave Mel alone.
Yeah, just saying.
I hope that you get assaulted by a pack of Mel Gibsons.
I'm just saying.
Is that
wonder,
what he said?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that? Oh, my God.
I wonder what underground club he goes to.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah. I'm just saying. You can make that argument.
Do you, homie?
Oh, nothing wrong with that's what you're into. I'm just saying over into the screen a little bit.
And I also caught up with Doctor Strange.
Good.
It was very good. Special effects were great.
Yeah.
I thought the story was a little muddy.
It's
the whole, like, you know, Tilda Swinton is this, but like not. But like, I was like, okay, you know. And then also, it just kind of looked like Inception for half the movie.
I think we did this on the episode because I had Eric Leslie on. You know, he quickly pointed out, you know, we've seen this exact superhero narrative before. And I said, yeah, that was kind of exactly like Iron Man. And he said, I was talking about Batman Begins.
Oh.
But both of them are kind of exactly
really
the same.
Really great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing with Doctor Strange isn't the story. The acting's good. The effects are great.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Buy a ticket. Have fun.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Anything else you've caught up with?
No, not all the all the mainstream ones that I could go jump into a theater. And I missed Moonlight by about 10 minutes. I was really upset. I could not get out of my show to go see it the last screening.
I'm going to be handing you some. I mean, no, I'm not. I'm not sharing my screeners with anyone.
I have a ton of SAG after screeners.
Oh, yeah. You're starting to get them?
Oh, yeah. They're going to start coming. It's usually like Christmas. It's like between Christmas and New Year's and right after New Year's, I start getting a ton of SAG after.
I might have received more than any this year.
Screen Actors Guild Awards.
I've received well over 100 movies in the mail.
And how many coffee table books did you receive this year?
Oh my God, the coffee table book game is on point. Where La La Land sent me, it wasn't even the La La Land coffee table book. It's a beautiful 2-inch thick art book with photos of Los Angeles
its
history that just has like a La La Land wrap around it.
That's great.
It's beautiful.
I want to see that.
Beautiful.
That's
really
cool.
It's great. Anyway,
but Moonlight is a must see.
Moonlight, and I'll tell you,
I have to see La La Land.
I'll take you behind the curtain a little bit on this. This is gonna be part of Extra Butter, and I'm probably not supposed to review La La Land yet, but the hell with it.
Well, don't.
No, I'm not gonna review La La Land yet. But I'll tell you, I've got to pick a best picture this week.
Yeah,
and for me,
yeah, you got to pick a best picture this week.
For me, it is down to Moonlight and La La Land.
Wow.
And those two could not come up with two more different movies than those two.
Yeah.
Where Moonlight,
from what I understand for sure.
Moonlight is an incredibly relevant, serious, perfect drama, but it's still really, you know, lyrically put together. Beautiful direction, beautiful script,
script. Just like one sentence, what's that about?
It's about...
Because we're basically telling you the two movies you should definitely see that could win an Oscar.
Yeah, that's one and two for me. And I'll rattle off a couple others that are just up there.
Yeah.
You know, Arrival is definitely one of those.
Yeah.
So is Fences. So is Manchester by the Sea. So is Jackie. Mm. I had that, then it gets down into the nines, and I haven't really decided what's going to emerge.
Well, if
there
you're going to go see a movie over the holidays, we're giving you a little list.
But Moonlight is about a young boy growing up in very bad circumstances in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it's his coming of age, but also he's coming out in really the worst environment to try to wrestle with. Yeah. You know, trying to figure out if you're gay. There's no worse environment to try to go through that process than the one this boy is going through. And it's told in three, it's like 40 minutes of him as like about an 8-year-old, and then 40 minutes as a 14-year-old, then 40 minutes as like a 21-year-old.
Wow.
With almost three casts, there's like one or two people that overlap.
Wow.
But it's...
I didn't know about the three-part thing. That's really cool.
And it's so good. Hmm. And then La La Land, I watched La La Land for the second time last night, and it's like, you know, Singing in the Rain. It's like, you know,
that's what you said.
Incredibly old school Hollywood musical. And it's so inventive. It's so beautiful. The music is unbelievable.
Wow.
But I heard
it's very Baz Luhrmann.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But I was talking to our friend Robin Hitchcock, who does some movie stuff of her own, and I said, like, you know, this is like trying to, you know, choose between a serious film and a puppy. Like,
right.
I'm trying to, this is the most adorable, fluffy puppy,
right.
And I'm trying to decide whether I want that or, you know, a serious, serious kind. And I don't know which way I'm going to go. I'm going to watch Moonlight again and make up my mind.
This director, Damien
Chazelle, who did Whiplash.
Yeah, wrote and directed Whiplash. And what's really interesting, I was like, I know his name. He wrote 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, didn't direct it. Because Dan Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
He did that movie Monsters. That's fantastic. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. Sorry.
Correct.
But, yeah, that's an interesting going from Whiplash to that. But, obviously, he likes music.
Yeah. I mean, there's that's the through line. But, the thing about La La Land is there are... Like, I had feelings watching La La Land
Ooh.
That I didn't think movies could get you to have anymore.
Oh, wow.
You know, that really
wow.
classic Hollywood thing.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be between the two of those. By the way, those two actors.
I love them.
Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Love them.
They're wonderful. Both second choices.
Really?
Miles Teller and Emma Watson.
No, thank you.
And I like both of them.
Yeah.
No, though.
Not proven, no.
Yeah, not for
yet.
Something like this.
And I think I mentioned this maybe the last podcast. I think they're pushing Miles Teller a little hard.
Yeah, because we were talking about Bleed for this, which
it's
was
like,
not that
it's
great.
It's like, let him... Oh, because I... No, we were not on the podcast. We were having a conversation, like we do, about movies. And I finally watched War Dogs.
Oh, yeah,
And
yeah,
I
yeah.
thought he was fine, but I think they're pushing him a little hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, let him ease in. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Maybe it's his agent is pushing him into everything.
So before we get out of here, he's got a good agent, beyond a doubt. There are three other movies I've seen coming out in Pittsburgh this week. Really quick, Manchester by the Sea is a movie that also could win Best Picture, and it is not far
I
down
love
my
Casey
ballot.
Affleck.
Casey Affleck is great. Michelle Williams is great. The young man's name is Lucas.
Oh yeah, Michelle Williams is really good.
I'll tell you his name in a minute. But Quiet, really well, you know, it's a small family drama, really serious stuff, really heavy stuff.
Oof.
But this is the one, you know, this is every movie that every year there's a
do you
movie
gotta prepare
like this.
For to watch that.
Yeah. I'd make it the last thing you do that day.
Oh,
that's for
God.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not even going to spoil
no,
it for you.
No, don't. I just, you know what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Some stuff, you know, like Call Me Lucky, Bobcat Goldthwait's documentary with comedian, oh my gosh, it just left me.
Barry Crimmins.
About his life being molested and him helping catch child molesters. Sweet God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. It's so good, but you gotta.
Whew, yeah, you gotta, this is a lot like that. Very heavy, but yeah. Brilliant performances. It's one of those stories that feels like a you know, like classic theater. You
know?
And really, really great. And written directed by Kenneth Lonergan, who wrote Gangs of New York.
Wow.
But also wrote Analyze This and Analyze That.
Okay.
Yeah, he's had an interesting career. He's mainly a writer. He's also done a little bit of directing, but he's definitely going to get a lot of attention for this. Also saw Miss Sloan, which is kind of an outside chance at a Best Actress nomination for Jessica Chastain. She plays a lobbyist. It's a little newsroom. It's a little twisty political thriller. It's fine.
I'll probably miss that one.
Nothing you can't miss. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's got a good cast.
I like her.
She's always great.
Yeah.
It's one that, you know... Like, what's an example, you know, like when Jennifer Aniston did that movie Cake, that like, right. Here's my serious one. It's like, yeah, gotcha. Okay, if you see it, fine.
But really, it was like, but she's a stripper, though.
Was she?
Wasn't it?
Cake?
Yeah.
I forget one. No, she was depressed. That's the one where she was depressed and suicidal and...
Oh, what's the one...
there were dead kids involved.
I don't remember.
Miss Sloan is very good, especially if you like Jessica. And I think Jessica Chastain is great.
Yeah.
But nothing you have to see. And then Nocturnal Animals is a really weird one. Written and directed by Tom Ford, like the designer, the clothing designer.
I'm rolling my eyes really
Tom
hard.
Ford. So it's this story within a story thing, right? And the big story is Amy Adams is like a gallery owner. And her ex-husband wrote a book. They haven't been in touch for years. He sends her a copy, and she starts to figure out that it's kind of... that this book is him working his shit out about her, right?
Yeah.
And that's the frame story. And the frame story... both the story and the filmmaking are not very good. It's like a...
Do you know? The guy designs clothing.
Wait a minute, though. Okay. I mean, it's like that whole thing is all like right. like an awkward David Lynch imitation.
It's a really good cast.
Whole frame
really
story.
Good cast.
But then half of the movie, more than half of the movie, is the is that book, right? Is the movie within the movie, which is the book okay. she's reading, which is great. It's Jake Gyllenhaal and his family are in rural Texas, and some guys start messing with them, and it goes south in a hurry, and then Michael Shannon shows up as the cop who's trying to get to the bottom of it.
I like it.
And it's this, like, intense...
Dude, Army Hammer?
It's this intense thriller drama.
Isla Fisher?
Yeah. The movie in the middle...
Laura Linney?
Yeah. The movie in the middle...
Michael Sheen?
Who doesn't want to, you know, dress up in pretty clothes and
yeah,
hang out with really, Tom Ford?
Yeah.
That if you cut that movie out, it might only be an hour long, but it would be unbelievable. The thing around it did not work, but it's kind of worth seeing for this movie in the middle. Just this Michael Shannon and Jake Gyllenhaal looking for bad guys in the Texas desert.
Okay.
Sure. Then outside of that, it's just weird.
Aaron Taylor Johnson kick-ass?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The opening shot of that movie is at an art gallery. Like, the opening credits are, like, 4 minutes of large, old, naked women dancing in close-up.
Sure. And I forgot
There's no point. It doesn't matter. It's just like, here's some, quote, art, right?
He did direct A Single Man. I forgot about that, which was not bad.
You know, it's not something... It's worth seeing.
Okay.
It's just...
Okay.
It's just a little bit of a big old mess, but interesting. And like you said, that cast is fantastic.
Wow. Good list.
Yeah, so that's all out in Pittsburgh this week. There's plenty more coming up. I mean, I can't even tell you. I think I had my whole list for the year up at one point. I've seen so many damn movies. I've seen a couple movies that aren't going to be out till like February.
Yeah.
Like Matthew McConaughey in Gold and The Founder I've seen. Jackie is coming out at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seen a lot of movies. And we'll tell you all about them on You Can't Handle the Truth in the future. For now, Office Christmas Party, If you feel like it.
Hey, you know, if you're like, hey, friends, let's go get dinner, get some drinks.
Yeah.
Go see a movie. If you go see a movie over the holidays, in December, you need a break. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a little raunchy.
Yeah.
There's a dick.
Yeah.
Very briefly. But comedy nowadays, Sean.
Yeah, you got to have a dick.
Boobs are the new dicks.
I think you mean dicks are the new
dicks
boobs.
Dicks are the new boobs?
Yes.
No, dicks are boobs.
Like pop star.
Dicks are the...
There was intense... There was... Like a long rolling laugh
that was
dick
a funny
scene
dick, though.
In Popstar, yes.
So dicks are the new dicks.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.